90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City, Community Radio. Streaming online at www.kkfi.org.
The views and opinions of this program are those of its host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
Still waiting for the truth to be told now. Whoa, whoa, whoa. It won't be long now, now. Won't be long. Heard the news, heard the rivers all run dry. And on TV, I see missiles in your sky. Word is out, love whispering, rolling on. Oh, angels and mercenaries.
You're tuned to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. This is Urban Connections with your host, Donald Wolf. Our co-host extraordinaire, Joe Jackson, is in studio at the table. Thank you so much, Joe, for sitting in this chair and facilitating these programs in my absence and allowing me to take a break and spend some time with the fam over the holidays. I truly, truly appreciate it. So please do the honors and introduce our guest.
Well, we're in week two of our series of How to Buy a House, and our guest today is real estate agent Tony Choate, if I've got it correct.
Choate.
Yes. With Keller Williams. And today we're going to be talking about the importance of a real estate agent and how they can help you in picking that important house.
Absolutely. Thank you, Joe, for allowing me to come on and have this conversation with you. As a realtor, I think it's very important for the community to understand what our roles are in their transaction.
So as we get right down to it, what is the most important thing that a realtor can help a prospective home buyer do?
I think the most important thing that we offer as agents are helping our clients understand process. I had an opportunity to listen to your show last week, and what you were discussing with them were the pre-buying things that were necessary. When you come to your agent, you want to make sure that as a consumer that you have your background done. That means that you've had credit pulled, that you may be on your way to finding the financing. It's with those tools that you bring to a real estate agent that they can help you find that house that's going to tick off the boxes for you.
Meet all your needs.
That will meet all your needs. That will. You know, it's a misnomer that you'll find that house that will meet all your needs, unless you build. But buying resale, which is what we call the houses that are out here on the market, they're not new builds, they're considered to be resales. Because they've been built by someone else for someone else, we have to choose from those things. What are the pieces in that that are going to hit the high marks on our desires. So
i.e. the number of bedrooms, the number of bathrooms,
the number of square footage, the number of bathrooms.
You know, number of garage, you know, if you want one or two car garage.
Sometimes school districts.
Well, right now that's an important thing, school district.
You know, when you buy a home, every case is individual and everything is unique. There are individuals that will buy in an area because there's a school district there that meets the needs that they want for their children. There are some people that will buy not because of a school district, but they'll buy because they like the uniqueness of the environment there. Some people are buying because environment. You know, we have the market. I'm close to the clubs. There are things that I can do here. Mm-hmm. Some people buy because they wanted to be close to family. And all of those things are important, which tells you that each individual purchase is going to be unique. So I can't come to the table and tell you that everybody's going to be able to buy the same, or everybody comes to me wanting the same thing. I have to treat each individual person as an individual. So there's no foundation when they come to me. They enlighten me on what they want, and I in turn try to go out and help them secure that thing and keep them on track with what they said they wanted to buy.
Tony, how does one choose a real estate agent? How do you know who's the right person for you?
You interview them.
Okay.
You would interview them like you would be interviewed at a job.
Exactly.
You want to make sure that that person that you're going to spend this time with, that's going to help you find that home, is somebody that you're going to, A, enjoy spending time with, somebody that you feel is knowledgeable at their job, somebody that you're going to trust. Unless you have that trust, mm-hmm. It's really not a... it's not a good relationship. You have to trust this person. You have to trust that they're going to help keep you on your path.
Are there some credentials or something one should be asking for or looking for? And is there a way to verify that?
There are credentials. Mm-hmm. There are credentials in the way that you verify them. Agents, there are independent offices, and then there are the big ones.
Okay.
Your agent, it's funny, Donna, your agent is the person that you meet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that agent has a relationship, has a business relationship with, I'm not a broker, I'm an agent.
Mm-hmm.
And a brokerage holds my license.
Okay.
My license are going to be on the wall of that brokerage.
Okay.
So if you want to see, to make sure, to guarantee that I am who I say I am and that I have the credentials that I say I have,
mm-hmm.
you're going to contact the broker
okay.
of the place where I work.
Okay.
You are welcome at all times to go in, go in that office and view those credentials.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome to go in and talk to that broker.
Okay. Because fraud exists everywhere, and I would think that would be like a cautionary
thing. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. A business card means nothing today.
Right.
But, you know, there are trails. You can call the Missouri Real Estate Commission,
okay.
and you have that person's name. That we all have license numbers.
Okay.
You know, you can obtain those things. You can track those things. You can call the Missouri Real Estate Commission. You can call... for those of us that belong, I belong to KCRAR, which is the Kansas City Regional Association of Realtors. You can call them and you can ask, is Tony Schoedt a licensed real estate agent?
Okay.
They will look me up and they will tell you exactly who and what I am.
Okay. Great.
You also may want to ask, are they a buyer's or a seller's agent? You know, whether they help predominantly buyers more or sellers more.
Oh.
There are some agents that exclusively do buyers. There are some agents that exclusively do listings, sellers. But then there are agents out here that actually have a healthy book of business that handle both.
For our listeners, what is a buyer's agent and what's the seller's agent?
A buyer's agent. The buyer's agent is that person that is going to help the individual that is looking for the home.
Okay.
So, Joseph,
no.
If you're looking for a house...
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you're unfamiliar with an area. What you would do is you would seek out somebody that was interested in helping a buyer.
Okay.
If that person's interested in helping the buyer, then you would do those things. If it makes you comfortable, check them out, look out their credentials, and then you would begin to... you can either work with them as a customer or you can work with them as a client. There's a difference. And that person would then take you under and hopefully show you what it is that you'd like to do. A seller's agent or listing agent is an agent that they take on, they like helping individuals that are interested in selling their homes, interested in helping them prepare how to put that home on the market so that it's showing properly, so that you can present this property in its best light, and so that they help the seller understand and negotiate the deal. They represent the home. When you are out and you see the signs in the yard, those signs are the people that are helping that help to represent that home. They represent that home.
So should you look for an agent who's in the area where you would like to buy, or does the geographics make no difference?
You would want to find somebody who is knowledgeable about the area that you work.
Okay.
You want to talk with people who have an understanding. There are some people that claim to have knowledge of all areas, but if you are interested in the specifics of one area, you'd want to look for that person that seems to have sold a lot in that area, who knows a lot about what's going on politically, with the real estate, with new builds, with things that are going on. When you deal with a person who knows a lot about the area, that helps you to make a decision. Is this the place for me? Is there something about this? What is it about this area that would make me want to stay? Is this a long-term or a short-term area? So it's important to find somebody who is well-knowledgeable, well-versed on the area that they sell in.
If you have somebody that's well-knowledge, they may know about pocket listings. Can you explain what a pocket listing is for our listeners?
Pocket listings are, as I understand them to be, are listings that don't necessarily find themselves on the multiple listings unit. They are listings that the agent themselves may know about or have direct contact with. So they're like the little private secrets.
Okay. Yeah. So which speaks to the value of getting an agent who's knowledgeable about the area that you're interested in. That
Absolutely.
Person would be in on those pocket listings in that area.
Well,
possibly.
Those are developed by relationships.
Okay.
You know, the great thing about real estate, the person that sells you that house is hoping that you stay there as long as you want to be there. And when you decide that you no longer want to live there, we want you to call us back to get that house.
I see.
And then we want to help you find that next house that you're going to be in. So it's relational. You know, that's how most agents find their clients. It's not so much that, oh, I've gone and done the homework and I am so well versed on everything in the area. It's relationships. Who's in your circle of influence? Those are the people that help you find clients and help you find people that you can assist in buying.
Okay.
So with this hot market now that we're in, that a house may come on the market on Monday and have multiple bids and a bidding war by Friday, how important is it to have an agent who knows what to do when you get into somebody wants to get a property that you have multiple bids on?
That's a tricky question.
Well, I'm saying if you've got an agent, but they may just be you know, they've only been an agent 5 or 6 months. They've just gotten their license. Versus having somebody who's been an agent 15, 20 years. Experience matters. This is like if you're at your job and you've been on your job a year versus somebody who's been doing that job for 15 years.
I get where you're coming from with the question. I'm reticent to answer it with a general statement because, again, we talked about relationships before, and I can know you for 25 years, and that doesn't necessarily mean that we have that relationship that is going to give me that kind of inside pocket with you. With all agents are trained to do their absolute best in a deal. You have to remember who you are there. If you're there representing the seller, it's the seller's interest that you have. If you're there representing the buyer, it's the buyer's interest that you're there for. You have to remember whose side that you're on in a negotiation. Speaking in terms of years, of course, years and experience in this business absolutely give you the wisdom to sometimes think a process through. But then I've seen some young whippersnappers come in here, and they take this and they can negotiate you under the table. So a lot of times it's relationship. How much trust do you have in that person's ability to get you what you want? But that's only determined by what you bring them in the beginning. If you bring them a well-rounded pocket, you have those credit scores, you've been pre-approved, you know what it is that you want, and you have effectively communicated that to your agent. If we run into a situation where you're in multiple offers, you know, there are situations that come about that way. You have to understand, if it's for you, it's for you. If it's not, it's not. It just so happens in this time we're in what is considered to be a seller's market. A couple of years ago, we were in the buyer's market. And the difference between the two is this. In a buyer's market, there's so much product on the market and very few sellers. Right now, we're in a situation where there is very little product on the market. But we got a whole lot of people out here buying, which makes a difference in how you come to putting that in. That means that you should come credit straight, finances intact. You know what you want. When you walk in that door and that real estate agent asks you three questions, does it tick off all the boxes that you need? Do you see your family living in this home? And the third question is the most important one. Are you ready to write it up? If you know then, that agent's going to write that in. The sooner you get the offer in, you have a better chance. But you have to have realistic ideology about how you go into the deal. And you have to be prepared. Preparation, preparation, preparation will get you location, location, location.
Joe, we're going to have to take a break right now, and we come back, we'll continue our conversation with the real estate agent Tony Schott. You're tuned to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. This is Urban Connections. I'm your host, Donna Wolf. Our co-host, Joe Jackson, has facilitated this program and the series on how to buy a home, how to buy real estate here on Urban Connection. So please stay tuned. We'll continue our conversation after these messages. FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio, Urban Connections. I'm your host, Donna Wolf, our co-host, Joe Jackson, here in studio with our guest, real estate agent, Tony Schott. Joe?
So we've got a few questions, but if our listeners have any questions, please give us a call on our studio line, which is 816-931-5534. That's 816-931-KKFI. So if we hire a buyer's agent, you know, nothing in life is free. We have to pay everybody. When we go to the store, we buy a loaf of bread, a gallon of milk. We have to pay for that. How does a buyer's agent get paid?
It's simple. I can tell you how all agents get paid. All agents are paid through the transaction. Specifically, buyer's agents are the person soliciting the help of a buyer's agent. They don't come out of pocket for a dime for them. Agents are paid through the transaction. So you going and enlisting the help of an agent, which is something that I hope you do after this program, understand one thing. When you solicit the help of that person that's going to help you, you don't come out of your pocket for any of that. Agents are paid through their transactions.
So the fee is?
The fees.
The fee comes out of the property.
The fee comes out of the settlement of the property.
Okay.
Yes.
I have a question, Tony.
Yes.
Do you need a real estate agent when you're purchasing a house from the owner directly? You know, those...
Well, Donna, I always tell you you need a real estate agent. I'm a real estate agent.
Okay.
You need a real estate agent.
Okay.
All real estate transactions, a real estate agent really should be involved because we're that person that helps to make sure that all the I's are dotted, the T's are crossed, that you are protected in the transaction. That's our job, to make sure that our person, our client, our customer is protected in the transaction. The other person that would help you in a real estate transaction would be a lawyer.
Really?
Now, my fees are considerably much cheaper than a lawyer's.
Okay.
And I'm cuter.
I agree with that, Tony. Always. I've been hearing about interest rates ticking up, going up a quarter point and all that stuff like that. What is the state of interest rates these days as it affects people who want to buy a home?
Okay, Don, I can answer that question for you, but let me preface this.
Okay.
I'm a real estate agent,
mm-hmm.
and it is my job to stay in my lane. Finances are something that those questions should truly be directed towards a lender.
Okay.
The person that's helping you with that. Of course, the rise and fall of interest rates are directly going to be connected to what you're going to pay out. But as a real estate agent, I keep my focus on making sure that your paperwork is all I's are dotted and T's are crossed. I make sure that as far as your finances are concerned, that you have been pre-qualified and qualified by the lender who
mm-hmm.
handles all financial affairs.
Okay.
And then I open the door and I'm there with you throughout the process.
But if somebody was trying to sell me some kind of crazy mortgage, I don't know if they still are. Is the adjustable rate market still flourishing?
They still have adjustable rate mortgages, but the thing is you have to sign off on there's a rider on an adjustable rate mortgage, and usually things like that only happen if people don't have good credit. So it's just one of those things.
But you would wave a flag if that was the case. If you were my real estate agent,
I may question.
Okay.
I may ask my client, you know, I see that in your paperwork you have an adjustable rate mortgage. Of course, you've had the conversation with your lender.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what this type of loan is
Maybe.
And how it's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, I would suggest that you go back to your financial person
mm-hmm.
and ask them for clarification.
Okay.
Again, I do not practice law. I cannot mm-hmm. give you legal advice.
Okay.
I don't give you financial advice because I'm not a banker.
Okay. Got a call?
Caller, can you tell us your name and where you're calling from?
This is Drew and Alatha, and I actually had one question, but based upon what you said about the adjustable, I had a second one. But my first question is, and I don't know, this might just not be relevant to residential property, how much more money does it cost someone if when they're buying the property they want the mineral rights so someone can't just frack on the land?
That's a little bit outside of our scope. That would be something that you would have to get with a attorney with on that one, because mineral rights usually come outside of that, so that's something you're going to have to negotiate with an attorney on
mm-hmm.
to ensure that you have the mineral rights on a parcel of land.
So if I have a house and it's going to be sitting on a piece of land and I purchased that and I find gold, strike gold, or oil in my background, my backyard. I don't have rights to that. Resources.
There can be separate. You can own the house and not own the mineral rights, and you can own the mineral rights and not own the house.
That's interesting.
And my other question was, in terms of adjustable rates, don't most of these people inform the person like getting one out, or this is basically meant for businesses who are going to get the money back in like to pay for the property in what, 3 to 6 months? It's just a quick stopgap measure.
No, there are homeowners now that do have adjustable rate mortgages, but you have to sign a separate piece of paper for your adjustable rate mortgage.
But isn't it meant for business? To my knowledge, that's all I heard was adjustable was supposed to be for business.
No.
It makes sense for business if you're going to get the money within a matter of months to pay for the property.
No, it was during the market, during the height of the market, there were a lot of people who were buying and flipping houses who were just taking and getting them on adjustable rate mortgages.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. But then it just turned into a big old scam in a way to abuse people, basically.
Well, it happens. There's a lot of people now who are going through the housing financial, through Freddie and Fannie Mae, who are trying to get those turned over to fixed-rate mortgages, because it happened to a lot of people who are actually minorities. That was a scam that they were doing. That they were doing now, to who now have these adjustable-rate mortgages. I know several people who have them. There's a business. There's a lender out there that they have adjustable-rate mortgages that they gave them to people at 7.62%, and that's the low end. The cap on them is 14.62%. They adjust twice a year.
Wow! Twice a year.
Twice a year.
Oh boy!
And they give them to a lot of people in the minority community, and their goal is to essentially take the house from you. You pay and then when you can't pay, they come in and take the house from you.
Well, that's what reverse mortgages are about, to some extent, I would argue, as well.
Well, with the reverse mortgage, you get to live in the house until the last remaining, if you're married, until the last remaining person passes, and then the family or whoever will the house, they get the opportunity to be able to pay off whatever that balance is. So it's just a little bit different than a adjustable rate mortgage.
Or turnover.
Interesting.
Yeah. Does that answer your questions, Drew?
Yeah, thanks, Donnie. You always do a great show.
Oh, thank you so much. Give the number, please.
So, number is 816-931-5534. That's 816-931-KKFI. So, if you have a individual who's looking for a house, what is the primary thing that most people come to you when they're looking for something, looking to buy a first time homeowner? What's the primary thing that they're most likely looking for? Is it school district? Is it the size of house? Is it the location?
Actually, Joe, every case is individual. There are people that are interested in living in certain areas because school districts are strong. And if they're interested in those areas, those are the areas that I show them. There are some people that they may not have children. You know, they might be a young couple or a young student, somebody who is maybe going to be in this area that realizes the positives in home ownership, but also understand that they're not going to be here forever. So it might be it's close to the university. I want to be there. I'm going to be here in this area going to the college for 4 to 5 years rather than pay rent. I want a mortgage. I'm going to do that. And they see that property as the entry into investment. There may be some people that contact me because they want investment property. People come to real estate with individual needs, individual wants. And as an agent, it's my hope to be able to help them find whatever it is that they need.
I will say this. I know when I was in the military, one of the things was you would go to a base and you may stay there for 7-8 years, and we were getting a housing allowance and people were staying. You know, we had an option either staying on base if there was space available, mm-hmm. or you could rent someplace downtown. And so many of my friends would rent someplace downtown, and I'm like, no. I'm like, I would find a real estate agent, I would buy something, because it's like the government's paying my rent for as long as I'm there. So then in 7-8 years, I would sell that house, and I would recoup all of that money back, and I would just move to the next place, because it was, if you're in a military town, there's always somebody coming after you as long as you buy in a nice place. So I know.
Not to mention the interest you were able to deduct.
You're right off.
On your mortgage.
You know, there are people, like, again, they come to us and they find out if they want to really own.
Which brings me to my next question.
And?
I got two. What are the pluses of home ownership? And what are these I's and T's that you keep talking about dotting as a real estate agent? You want to dot the I's and T's.
The first question was, what are the pros and cons,
of owning? Yeah.
I can speak to you for me.
Okay.
There's a sense of I own something. The positives in that is that I got to choose. I don't have anybody over my head stomping on me. I have nobody to the side making noises because I chose a single family home.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But then there are other types of homes. There's condominiums.
Yeah.
There are
townhouses.
There are duplexes, multiplexes, multifamily. There are different types of real estate out here.
Mm-hmm.
You have to determine who you are. You know, woke up this morning, I decided I was going to be this person that put on what I put on, and that's the face that people are going to see. When you do home ownership, it's the same. Do you want to cut grass? If you don't want to cut grass, then maybe it's not a single-family home you want.
Okay.
Maybe you want a multifamily home. Maybe you want to be a person that lives in a condominium. I don't want to have any responsibility about anything. So I might find myself purchasing a condo, paying HOA fees that are going to take care of my lights, my water, my whatever the HOA says that it takes care of.
Homeowner Association.
It determines... The pro in that is you determine what it is that you're going to be. The con in it as well, if you choose in the wrong location. You had a conversation when you were in the military and you chose to buy a home. So you saw the home that you purchased as an investment. So location and the ability to get rid of that property when it was time for you to go was very important. So you didn't just choose anywhere.
No.
You can be the con in that is that people just buy and they don't think about where they're buying. So it makes it harder for them to go to the next step. What you actually brought into the conversation was wealth building. Some people use home ownership as wealth building. That can be a pro. It can also be a con if you make the wrong decisions.
But also the ability, if I want this wall to be yellow, blue, green, or if I want to put a nail in this wall or a nail in that wall,
and then
I can
that.
Do that.
And then
you know,
there is
it's,
that, yes.
When you rent, you know, if the wall
when
is...
When you rent, you're limited.
Yeah, if you rent, the wall is white. When you leave, the wall is going to be white. But also a lot of people don't understand is that people who are renting pay more to rent the home than they would do if they were actually buying the home.
Absolutely. But we also need to understand, I mean, we're pro-buying.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we have to help people recognize if they are buyers. Because there are people who want to be renters.
Correct.
And I have to respect that, too. But I'm a person that believes whether you are buying or renting, you should be exposed to the information and the education so that you can choose for yourself. You decided you wanted to be a homeowner. I decided I wanted to be a homeowner. Well, you may have decided, you know what, I've owned a home once before, and I just don't want to be bothered with this, so I'm going to rent. It might take the experience of being the buyer for you to understand that you are a person that doesn't want the responsibilities of it. But you may also have the experience of being a renter and having had a terrible renting experience, and that might be the thing that drives you into understanding that it's best for me to buy. I have more control.
But also the reverse side, as you get older, that you don't want to cut grass or you don't want the responsibility of repairs, then you may want to move to a condo. Or you may want to then at that point rent, so if the water pipe breaks and you want to call somebody to have to come and do that and kind of go from there, you know, I'm on the Prospect Max Committee, and as I see a lot of the things down Prospect where, you know, people are renting homes that they could purchase for half their price, but if you look at it in about 5 or 10 years, those houses are going to be double the price that they are now, so... It's a two-sided sword.
Well, it's real estate. You know, that's what it is. And it's deciding which side of real estate you want to be on. Do you want to be an owner or do you want to be a renter? I chose to be an owner at this time in my life. That doesn't mean that when it's time for me to downsize, you're absolutely correct, I might decide I don't want to cut grass anymore. So I may find something, a community. You know, we have communities out here that specifically are for senior citizens, that you have all the you have all the privacy of being a homeowner, but you don't have any of the responsibility of cutting grass or doing those kind of things. You know, real estate is one of those things that it grows as you grow. And when you're ready to reduce, to change, to transition in life, it's one of those things that can help you make those transitions in life.
So
what are the I's and T's that I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I'm talking about the contracts.
Okay.
Because all of this is based on contracts. It's not a gentleman's handshake anymore. There is a contract. There's a contract that you enter into to have a relationship with a buyer or a selling agent. It's with the broker, actually, and the agent that you deal with is generally designated to you. It's making sure that, you know, you meet all of your inspections, that all these things are that should be in line in order for you to pass this package. Because what I do is I help you find the house, I help you negotiate and write the contract, but then I pass this package on off to your lender.
Okay.
That is our third partner in this, because home buying is a partnership. You have a realtor, you have the financial arm, and then you have those support arms such as the inspector, all inspectors. If you buy a house that has a fireplace, it's not just have the house inspected. You want to find that person that inspects fireplaces. You want to find that chimney sweep. You want to find that person and have that thing inspected and make sure that it works. The person that inspects the sewer. There are so many nuances and different pieces based on the home that you buy. It's going to determine the inspections that you have. So those are the I's that I'm talking about dotting and the T's that are crossed. It's my job to make sure that I make you aware. Well, you realize we walked into a two-bedroom, three-bathroom, or a three-bedroom, two-bathroom house, two-car garage, and you have two fireplaces. One is wood-burning and one is electric. Well, when it's time for you to determine which house you want and you choose that one, well, there's a list of inspections that I need to make sure that you're aware of, that you choose to do or not to do.
Oh, my.
Everything in the real estate field, everything in the real estate transaction, everything in the real estate negotiation is the buyer's choice. They make all choices.
But there are some inspections that the federal government, if you're doing an FHA loan, like termites and certain ones that you don't have a choice, that they mandate that you do.
Absolutely. And like you said, different programs, different financial programs have different requirements. And again, I work with them. I have knowledge of some of them, but that information comes from that particular program, the guidelines of that, dotting the I's, crossing the T's, making sure that you know that the loan that you are working with requires that this, 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 and this are done, and there's no negotiation on that. Mm-hmm. However, these things over here that are just as important need to be looked at too. And if you don't take care of it now, it might bite you later.
So, go ahead, Jim.
You talked about one thing important that we don't want to skip over so quickly, the inspection period.
Yeah.
How important is the inspection period, and what does the inspection period give a prospective buyer?
And what are the basic inspection line items? What are the basics that you have to have inspected?
I'll start with Joe's question.
Okay.
Joe, your question was, what is the inspection period? And is the what is the necessity of the inspection period. After you have after you have concluded that you want to buy the house, the seller wants to sell it to you and the buyer wants to sell it, and those documents are signed off on, there's an inspection period, a mandated inspection period, 10 days, that the buyer has to have an inspection done. Now, there are some that may not choose to do that, and that person would sign a waiver saying that they choose not to inspect this property, and it basically says that I am willing to accept it in its condition, and as nothing will come back. It's
but you don't even know what the condition is if you don't get an inspection.
Well,
right? I mean,
that's based on the knowledge.
I could see on the knowledge, hole in the roof, but
right? but that's based on the knowledge of the person that's there. I might be coming to the transaction, and I'm a home inspector myself.
Okay.
I might not need that. But your everyday person who has no knowledge of this house or how things are supposed to act, as a real estate agent, I always suggest that you do those inspections. You hire that inspector and have that inspector come in and give you some idea of what this house is, the state of the house. Now, again, what are the things that they check? I'm not an inspector.
Okay.
As a real estate agent, I am present. I choose to be present when a house is there. It's the as a listing agent, in my practice, I choose to be present when anybody comes into the home because I'm responsible for that home. If I take it on as a listing, I am responsible for that home. So I'm present at those inspections. I am not in that person's way.
And there's certifications for people who do these different inspections, too.
Inspectors have certifications.
Joe's shaking his head.
Inspectors have certifications. You will be asked to have your home inspected by a certified inspector.
Okay.
That is something, as you asked earlier, how would you find a real estate agent? Mm-hmm. Do they have this? That's a question. Just as you would ask me, I would also ask the person that I've chosen to inspect my home, are you a certified inspector? Can I see your credentials?
Okay. Yeah.
And the reason why I was shaking my head, because a lot of people just may get somebody who says they're a licensed contractor, which is totally different than a certified inspector.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the guy who's going to build my deck, but he's not a certified inspector.
Okay. You want to deal with people who deal with that, who see houses from top to bottom, in and out, and over time know what to look for.
Okay.
It is the opinion of that person that's going to actually give you some idea of whether or not you want to buy this house.
Okay.
And they're also going to give you a report.
Absolutely. And that report is very important.
Okay. Report in writing. Mm-hmm. All righty. We've got to take another break. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion with licensed real estate agent Tony Schott. Joe Jackson has facilitated this program and this series of programs on how to buy real estate property. So keep it locked to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio, and Urban Connections. And we'll be right back after these messages. Joe?
It's 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City's Community Radio Station. We're back with our home buyer series, How to Buy a Home. And we were just having a quick conversation on, Tony, what are items that people should have inspected prior to buying a home?
I advise my clients to have a home inspected, and I'm on the spot here because I'm not a home inspector, but generally foundations, the water heater, the AC, the water lines, the gas lines, I mean, you know, the plumbing. You want to have the major mechanics, the major functions of a house inspected to make sure that they're in good condition upon receiving that home.
Those things that as soon as you move in, you don't have to pay for a $10,000 roof.
Absolutely.
Or a $3,000 AC bill.
Absolutely. When you get this house, you know nothing about it. The reason for enlisting the assistance of an inspector enlisting the assistance is a little deceptive. I need for you to understand that inspections are paid for by the buyer at the time that the inspection is done. So you're paying this person for their knowledge of this house. After they've gone through it, they've looked at the roof, they've looked at the gutters, they've looked at the windows, they've looked at the water pressure, they looked at the gas lines, they've looked at the mechanics, they've looked at those things that could cost you a lot of money after you've signed the deal. You want to know what condition these things are in. It could be a point of negotiation in your negotiations. So I always advise every client, please, in a real estate contract, in a real estate transaction, when you're buying, please have your property inspected. It works to your advantage.
So that inspection could save you thousands in negotiations if you find out that the roof has three layers or you've got a air conditioner that is on the fritz. So you could end up with something new. But how about a home warranty? Would you advise somebody who's just buying a house to purchase a home warranty?
Okay.
I think she's torn.
No, I'm not really torn because I do try to allow my clients, you know, those that are selling, to offer that. That's an incentive. That gives security and assurance to the person that's buying this house, a home warranty, that when they're in there in that first year and they're trying to fit that payment in there and get comfortable with it, if the furnace goes out, they've got somebody that they can call. Instead of $3,000, it only costs you $75. And those are things that help. Now, not all are going to do that, but those home warranties are also able to be purchased by the buyer after they bought the home.
Okay, how would that work? That's like, it sounds like insurance almost.
It is insurance.
Okay.
It is a form of insurance. It's a warranty on the major things. Because home warranties, they depending on, you know, you've got your standard, you got your gold, you got your platinum, you got your, you know, probably titanium. You've got one that'll cover everything.
Yeah.
The amount of money that you spend for a particular property. You might buy, believe it or not, if you buy a house that has a swimming pool, there's a home warranty that actually, if you purchase it, it'll cover the swimming pool. So those are insurances that either can, not all times, offered by sellers as an incentive for you to purchase this home, or for buyers to make sure that they have kind of lessened the blow of if they got in there and in the first year. Because let's face it, you can buy something brand new and it can be defective.
So when you're talking about purchasing a warranty, a home warranty from the seller, does that mean that they are agreeing to repair whatever it is that breaks down within a certain period of time? What are you saying?
No, what I'm saying is the seller, in agreeing to purchase a home warranty, agrees in the sale of this home as a part of this contract, I will purchase a home warranty to cover the things in this home that could possibly go wrong.
I see.
And in the transfer of ownership of property, the buyer now takes that, and that home warranty transfers over into the possession of that buyer.
I would imagine that's not too prevalent a practice for an older home. Maybe a new home, I
guess. No, all homes.
Really?
That's
all
the
homes.
Best. That's the best time if you want one is on an older home, because you have more things that can go wrong.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Great question.
So I know as we wind down our community minute, the City of Kansas City is going to host a meeting on the Linwood Shopping Center on January 10th at the Morningstar Youth and Family Redevelopment Center at 2525 East 27th Street. The meeting is going to be from 6 to 7:30, so if you plan to RSVP, contact Phillips West Public Relations at 816-241-1111 or by email at info@phillips-west.com. And they're going to be talking about the new development of the Linwood Shopping Center. And also, Cinemark does, on Monday, they do a $4 movie for only on Mondays for senior citizens. It's called the Silver Screen at a Golden Bayou for senior citizens on Mondays. So it's at their location at Merriam and at the Cinemark Palace at the Plaza. So if you're interested in that, give them a call. I don't know what age they consider senior citizens, but that's a great time for any time on Mondays. And I want to say thank you to City Manager Troy Schulte, Stuart Bellington of the Housing, and Assistant City Manager John Wood. I had a meeting with them yesterday concerning the How to Buy a Housing series, and I'm going to make a further announcement on that next week, but it's with their generosity that we're going to be able to have a great event concerning this housing event. And stay tuned next week for a huge announcement concerning this.
Great. Thank you so much, Tony Show, for being our guest here today and enlightening us in the community about home ownership and the process of buying a home.
Well, thank you for having me, and I would like to invite anybody in Kansas City to please stay tuned to these series that Joe is putting on. They're very, very important. You will learn how to deal with real estate agents, how to make contact with appraisers. You will find some lenders out here. You'll learn a lot of information that you'll learn something you didn't know.
And that's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
All righty. Joe?
Just say definitely stay tuned next week for session number 3 and our huge announcement. It is definitely going to be a great announcement for anyone who's looking to buy a home, but also for those who own a home. So we're definitely going to be something that people can come out and sink their teeth into. So session number 3 coming up next week. So definitely tune in.
All righty. Please stay tuned, everybody, at the top of the hour for Guess Who's Coming to Kansas City with MC Richardson.